it's not just money that women don't talk about openly. It's what we were talking about now, right now, that we need space that is our own and it's away from our kids. Like we feel a lot of shame just saying that as well.
Yeah.
What? You don't
you
want
just
to
said
be...
it and it made me nervous. I was like, oh, what if someone thinks we don't love our kids?
Yeah, no, we do.
We love them.
Yeah, yeah. It's like what you're saying, you don't want to be with your kids all the time. Yes, I don't want to be with them all the time.
Did
you
I stutter?
Hello and welcome to the 40s Formula, your go-to place for insightful discussions on navigating your 40s and thriving in this transformative decade.
We're your hosts, Amanda and Jasmine, two women that are passionate about exploring the challenges and adventures that come with turning 40 and what lies ahead.
Megha Singh is a business growth coach, fractional consultant, independent board director, and professional speaker. She is also the owner and CEO of Launchpad, the kindest community of entrepreneurs on the internet. With over 18 years of work experience across startups, SMEs, and MNCs like Shell, Sephora, and Meta, Megha has worked in a variety of roles and built vibrant communities across multiple industries. She has a master's degree in mass communication and loves the arts, word, visual, and motion. A mother to two boys, she is currently working on her first book and serves as a trustee on the board of the Swayam Foundation, an NGO that is creating learning and work opportunities for people in India. Well, y'all are in for a serious treat just getting to listen to our guest's voice today. I love it so much. The amazing Megha Singh is here to enlighten us on everything from small business growth to empowering women to forge better relationships with money, like everything entrepreneurial women need to know in their 40s. So thank you so much for being here, Megha.
Thank you for having me, Amanda and Jasmine.
Can we talk about the fact that women are out here starting businesses, not having addressed their fears and uncertainties about money and just kind of sweeping that under the rug? They don't know how to ask for it, how to make it, how to spend it. Where do you start with your female entrepreneur clients? How do you start the conversation about money?
Honestly, it's a great thing that they're starting without knowing about managing money, because it's just one of the things that you don't know when you start a business.
Fair.
And it's good that if we're starting a business, we don't let anything block us. So I am in favor of like taking action. Just put it out there. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
I think how I begin the conversations with money is rather than me starting the conversation, I have them speak to me about different aspects, like how are they thinking of pricing their products and services? How do they look? Do they check their monthly accounts? And on the basis of their responses, I'm able to gauge how comfortable they are with money or not. Because that's where these are, especially for founders, these are the two key areas where I see the money blocks, which is like they will undercut themselves. They will like, you know, they are not confident about charging a certain price, and they will feel like, I don't know if that's where the imposter syndrome also comes. Will people pay me for this? Right. So that's the big area first. And then I have founders, you know, it's so interesting. They make about $500,000, but they're not able to take a salary because their costs are so high.
Yeah.
So, and it's only come about because they're not looking at their accounts. They have like, okay, somebody else is taking care of that. As long as it's like a little bit profitable, I'm good. But at that level, they should be able to pay themselves.
Yeah.
And again, then that gives me insight that there is a block there, which is making them not look at their numbers on a regular basis.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I love the term money block.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, obviously in the coaching work that I do, there's a lot of kind of blocks around, you know, why can't you eat better? You know, why? What's stopping you from getting out to exercise? And I think that's very similar in, for women and money.
Yeah.
You know, it's not dissimilar. You mentioned two things that you do help, right? So women who are just starting out see value and be able to charge, women who have already made $500,000 that need to kind of reallocate their costs better. Do you help women with other aspects of money, like navigating salary? So for women who are not necessarily an entrepreneur, but corporate, like how do you work with women that are already in a job?
with the founders, it's the business coaching.
Yeah.
I also work with corporate women around money.
Okay.
And I think that the first step there is sometimes actually telling them that, you know, you can negotiate your salary. You don't have to accept just the 5% bump or 10% bump. For many women, that itself is the block that, okay, I got my 5%.
That's it.
And that I'm happy with that, right? So the first step is actually to get them to be comfortable with the idea of negotiating. The second step is really getting them comfortable with the number that they want to ask for. So honestly, if someone is, say, comfortable with $500, if you ask them to suddenly be like, go and ask for $50,000, that's a big jump. They'll be very uncomfortable. So it's really the, like the work you do, it's always step by step, right?
Yes.
So it's like, okay, what is the number you feel comfortable asking?
Yeah.
Then the third stage is really preparing them for it, right? Mm. Now, I feel that's the difference between like men and women. And of course, I'm generalizing, but it's like men would be like, hey, I helped you achieve this this much this year. Give me X amount or I'm going to quit and join another company, yeah. right? And a woman would like think multiple times and be like, she'll have like, these are the 10 points that, you know, how I have helped you. Can I get a 10% bump, yeah. you know? And like I said, I'm generalizing to make a point.
But like you're generalizing the exact story that my girlfriend just told me. that she made this like 10 point case study
yeah.
to present to her boss about why she deserved, you know, yeah, X, Y, yeah. Z. Like that's exactly what yeah. she did. So yeah. not wrong.
And it's weird because I also feel like, you know, women are always more self-conscious about everything. So if you're like looking in a mirror, a guy might look in a mirror and be like, oh, fuck, I look so good.
Yes,
a girl
yes.
will look in the mirror and be like, oh, fuck, my bum is so big. You know, my belly is so big. Yeah, and I feel like, you know, for women, you're always trying to justify,
am I worth it?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
do you think...
And we're more critical of ourselves.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, women say things like, can I wear this dress?
Yes.
Mm. No man, honestly, has put on a shirt and go, can I wear this? They're wearing it and that's
wearing
they go
it
on living.
It.
I know.
Do you find there's a particular type of woman or person mm-hmm. that is not afraid but intimidated by this whole asking for paying for something or, you know, putting a price on something? Is there a personality type that feels uncomfortable when it comes to money?
Most of the personality types I've met of women feel uncomfortable around money in some areas. Mm. I can think of only a couple of women that I've met who are like really comfortable with money conversations and money talk and openly talking about their salaries or negotiating that. Most women I have met have some blocks or the other, and they can be, have different personalities. They can be extrovert, they can be introvert. Really no personality type as such, but that's the journey, right? That's the work that we need to do. And you know, this is something I share often, that for women, owning money is so new. Mm. Like my mother was like amongst the few in her generation who was actually working. Mm. Others were homemakers. And she started the journey by just earning. She would pass the money to my father and he would manage the money. Yeah. So in a way, I am the first person in my generation, in my family, who's like earning the money, saving the money, yeah. managing the money, investing the money.
Yeah.
And so if you just look back at the history, not just in Asia, in America, you know, when did women actually start getting bank accounts? When could they buy property?
Yeah.
It's so new to us. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I feel like we should be empathetic to ourselves that, you know, there is a reason why we have these blocks.
But you're absolutely right.
Mm.
It's like if you don't have centuries of ownership, you know, genetics behind
you,
should I say epigenetics really, right? Then it's like, how likely would it be that you would have this amazing relationship with money?
Yeah.
So first of all, tell us about money meetups, because I think this is the coolest idea. Talk about like having coffee on steroids, right? So tell us first, what is money meetups?
So, you know, this really came from my own journey with money. So I started as someone who was earning a lot of money back in India, not saving a lot. So there was two aspects to my money journey. One is around the money mindset and one is actually practically managing money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would earn a lot, but I would spend it. So not really save and invest it. And the second thing was when I came to Singapore, I came here and I had no job, no money. You know, no networks. And it really affected my self-esteem to have to ask my husband for money, you know? So when I finally like set up my business, that's why, you know, the other thing I'm so passionate about is helping helping small businesses grow is because my own small business gave me financial independence and meaning and purpose and doing projects that I love and creating impact. What I'm doing now with Money Meetups, right, has really been influenced by this journey. Mm-hmm. The third thing I noticed was that my husband, my male colleagues, friends, they would go to bars, you know, or over a game, and they would talk about money. Like, you know, I've invested in this, or there's this new opportunity here, or are you putting money in crypto?
Yeah. And I was like, my husband does this over surfing. Yes. Yeah. So out in the waves.
Yeah. And then I was like, where are the spaces where the women are talking about money? Like, when we meet up, usually it's not even work. We talk about kids in casual situations, right?
Hardcore.
So I was like, I just want to create a space where it's a safe space. Mm-hmm. Women can come and talk openly about money. There are no dumb questions, you know? So what I do, two formats. So one is like a casual meetup. So I've done like a lunch where it's like very casual setting. And I do have conversation cards. So it's like, don't talk about your kids. Don't talk about your holidays. Talk about the prompt that I've given you here.
Yeah,
you know?
I love that.
Yeah. And then the second type I do is where I actually bring in a guest expert to talk about something around money. So the last session I did, I had an expert in fixed income investment to come and talk about it. Because like for me, my, you know, investing journey, I had knowledge about like equities and, you know, the traditional gold and real estate. I didn't know about debt investing or fixed income investing. And now and that's what I learned, that how it's become so easy for us as retail investors to be able to put like small amounts of money and it's more guaranteed income. So like these are the things that I didn't know about. And so I brought this expert to talk about it. So I do both the formats where it's more casual and sometimes it's more like a workshop style as well.
Yeah. I definitely feel like I need to brush up on my money game.
No, it's incredible. And I think, you know, when you are in these situations, you probably realize that there are a lot more women in your situation, whatever your situation is, right? Whatever your situation is, then you realize.
Yeah.
What are some of the common themes, like, you know, on your conversation cards? Like, what are you asking women to ask?
I talk about limiting money beliefs and stories. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, like when I grew up, the common things I heard was money doesn't grow on trees.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You have to work very hard to make money. If you have money, you're evil because no good person would make money. So that means if you made money, you're not ethical. Yeah. So I had to rewrite a lot of those stories that were there in my head, the narratives, to be able to make money for myself. Yeah. So the conversations are either around like, what are the money beliefs, the money stories that you have been hearing? Then some of the questions on the cards are like, what's your money goal for the year? And that's a very triggering question for many women, because they're like, oh, I don't have a money goal. Like, I didn't set any targets for this year. Again, the two prongs that I was saying, one is the money mindset piece, and one is like very strategically building your money pool and then saving and growing it through investments.
Yeah.
So the questions are around those two.
Yeah, I love that.
Do you find that it's like almost like imposter syndrome? So when someone set up their own business and they're thinking about how much to charge, it's like, can I really charge this much? Am I worth this much? Do you feel like the imposter syndrome comes into it? Or is it just because you're thinking your belief system is money doesn't grow on trees? So are people going to pay this much for it?
It's both. The imposter syndrome definitely comes up because most of the founders I work with are first-time founders. Like, they don't have a history of setting up businesses.
Yeah.
So they've either come from the corporate world or there are exceptional women who had great careers in other places and now are not finding those opportunities here, so are looking to start a business. So there is a lot of imposter syndrome around like, am I a founder? Because the moment people think of like entrepreneurs, they think of like the Zuckerbergs of the world,
VCs,
and the Musks and all of that. And then they're like, I'm not them, you know? So there is a lot of imposter syndrome for sure. But that was the interesting realization for me when I started doing my business coaching, because I thought I'll be just talking around like business strategy and how do you create your product and service, marketing and sales. But the biggest piece I work with founders on is the mindset. So we cover things like imposter syndrome for sure, but but even things like perfectionism, which means that they are just waiting for everything to be right before putting it out there, or procrastination, which is kind of linked to this. So they're all kind of limiting beliefs that we need to work on. And I think you guys would know, like, being founders is like the biggest personal growth journey you can go on.
Absolutely. No question. And you know, when you were talking, I think there's so many parallels in any sort of coaching, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, so you're a coach, I'm a coach, right? Very different worlds, but we're both sharing an experience right now of writing a book.
Yes.
So are you being coached for that?
I'm not being coached.
No. So I am. I started a coaching journey for that. And it's so interesting what you're saying. Like, that's my version of imposter syndrome, where I was like, no coach is going to take me. I'm too new. I don't know anything about the publishing industry. I'm going to be an embarrassment to this lady. Right. And now at this stage in my writing journey, you know, a lot of the feedback I get, she's like, you've really thought this out. You have a ton of experience in this area. You've worked with hundreds of women. And I was like, you're damn right. Like, you're absolutely right. Yeah, so I think part of what's important, what you do, is making women, they're not illiterate about money. They operate in the money world like we all do.
Yes.
And just getting over some of their own blocks.
Yeah. Right? No, and there are stats to prove that women are much smarter at managing money once they actually do it. Yeah. Like, they're savvier at it. It's just that we don't hear about those stories. Yeah. So the more, these narratives need to be out.
And again, you just mentioned, you know, like, all the Zuckerbergs and the Musks and what. Male, yes, right? Like, yes, you know, yes. Like, I want to hear about the female, or should I say, I want to have a touch point for that female. And again, it doesn't have to be, and that's the other thing too, is like only looking at those super high achievers then kind of negates the experience of anything below it.
Absolutely.
And I think that actually leads to my next question, which is, right, so women obviously in their 40s can't help but measure their careers by their financial worth, right? What they have earned, what they have, the revenue that they've earned, as well as their earning potential, right? But I love that you use the term impact, right? So, okay, here's the money you've earned, but here's the impact that you've made. Can you tell us a little bit about how you help women leave legacies of impact?
Everything that I do is so built on what I have experienced and I went through. So at the age of 40, so I'm going to turn 43 next month, I went through a bit of a dark night of the soul where I was like, I'm really not sure what I want the next 40 years of my life to look like.
Okay.
And so I kind of took a back seat from my projects. I also went down, like, I've started on a deep spiritual journey that I'm still continuing on. But I have come out of that dark night with very clear understanding of my mission. And that mission, like, for me, you know, sometimes there's a lot of noise, so I just keep it very simple. It's two letters, AI, but not artificial intelligence.
Here's my mission. ChatGPT wrote it for me.
No, it's AI as in abundance and impact. So for me, I want to create abundance for myself, but also help others create abundance. And then I want to be able to impact other people and help other people create impact. So that was like how I narrowed down as what I see my mission for the next 40 years. And then everything else, whether it's the work I do at Launchpad, the work I do at coaching work, the money meetups, it all kinds of leads to this AI mission that I have, right? Yeah. When I work with women at this stage, as you were saying, right, it's the conversation is often about, it's just by getting them to think about what is the legacy you want to leave behind, you know? Forget the numbers, get out of the operations. Yeah. Let's just take a quiet moment, and that's where journaling really helps, you know? Let's just be self-aware on, you know, 40 years down the line, once we pass away, what do you want to have left behind in the world, right? And just that question sets people thinking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're like, oh, I want to, like, you know, leave a company or leave a book, or I want to, like, actually work in, like, you know, a poverty alleviation. I want to, like, help the environment. Like, and then it's like, okay, we've come up with these things that you want to do now, but right now you're at this stage. Now, how do we go from here to where you want to be?
Amanda, you know we love the Meat Club, but you know what's even better than their premium ethically sourced meats?
What's that?
Getting $250 worth of your shopping for free. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing in our Season 5 giveaway.
All you have to do is show us the delicious meals that you make using the Meat Club products. Tag @the40s formula and at The Meat Club SG on Instagram or TikTok, and you stand a chance to win $250 worth of The Meat Club goodies.
It can be a photo, a reel, and don't worry if your account's private. Just drop us a DM and we'll count your entry.
We'll be picking one lucky winner at the end of the season, so make sure to submit all those delicious meals before June 5th.
It's time to jump in the kitchen and get cooking, and we cannot wait to see what you make.
That sounds like a very intense and kind of intimidating journey, but I assume that's exactly what you help with.
Yes, exactly.
It's getting from A to B.
And I guess that then provides clarity as well. Plodding along in the world, doing your shit, and then it's like, what is it that you want? Yeah. And I think if you really sort of think back to it, it will give you the route and the path and how you're going to get there. Because like we do as coaches as well, you know, if you don't know where you're going, how do you know what you need to do in order to get there?
Yeah. And I'm probably way oversimplifying this, but I'm sure you've seen each of these women I'm about to describe. So we have, I'm going to paint for you three women in midlife. Okay. So we've got woman one.
Let's call her Jasmine.
Do I want to be woman one?
Let's call her Jasmine. we got woman number one who's been working a corporate career since her 20s, right? And has recently started a family and is out, wants to be out of the game, wants to be out of the game, wants a different pace of life, doesn't want to travel so much, needs to be out of the rat race, but literally doesn't know a different life. She doesn't know a different way. That's been her identity, you know, since she was working in New York City in, you know, 2014. So like, she doesn't have a map for what's next. So there's one midlife woman. Second midlife woman took off time to have kids. So she has not been in the corporate world. In fact, she's been out of the working world entirely, let's say in her 30s, right? Yeah. So maybe she started work in her 20s, took off her 30s to start a family, wants to get back at it in her 40s, has no idea what that looks like. And then woman number three, who's basically a hybrid of the two, right? So it's like she, family, irrelevant here or there, but wants to achieve a work-life balance. So whether it's corporate, whether it's entrepreneurship, she wants a life that is her own design. How do you help each of these women?
So for each of them, right, what I would have them do is an audit exercise to begin with, right? So what that audit exercise looks like is for a week, just write down the activities that you're doing every day. Like I actually have a template for this. So it's like, okay, 7:30 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 9:30 a.m. Write down everything that you're doing
that
every
you're currently
day.
Doing.
You're so currently right doing. Now. Yeah, okay. It's an audit. Currently doing for a week, but next to it, have indicators of whether is this giving me money, is this giving me energy, or anything else I'm getting from it. Like maybe I'm just helping out in the school and it gives me a lot of joy, or I'm just doing this for impact.
I'm hugging my child.
From
9:30, 9:31.
It's like it's giving me joy, right? So what I have them do is kind of, I call it like an energy audit, but it's really like measuring, you know, your day to day in terms of like money is so important, right? So money for sure, but also like energy that you're getting, anything else you're receiving from it or you're giving. So that's one exercise. And then the second exercise I have them do is, what does my perfect day look like? Right. So again, it's once they do these two exercises, right, it's like, I have the current life audit. I have my perfect day. Now, how do I reach there? And for each of these three women, right, the journeys will look very different.
Right.
But it's like, it, the first step is really knowing where I am and where I want to be. And that clarity is so important for both the things. And I think one thing I wanted to highlight here, because this is something that comes up a lot, is that when women start thinking of impact, right? I think we're all in our 40s, right? Like,
You're very sweet to say, I think. No, we all are.
So we all had this idea, we grew up with, like, that one job has to give us everything. Like, that one job has to make us money. It has to give us, like, we should be able to create impact. We should be feel fulfilled by it. And that's the notion that I help women break, that it's totally fine to do one job that gives you money, and then something else you're doing, which is just for impact, and a third thing that you're doing, which is like, you know, giving you joy. And it doesn't have to be like, it's like putting, you know, pressure on like one relationship to fulfill you, right? Like my husband or my partner has to be everything for me. So that's the kind of pressure we need to take away from the work that we are doing as well. Because, you know, the woman that you were talking about in the first case, right? Like she could have a corporate job and a little bit of a side hustle. In fact, I know so many women in Singapore who make these cute like woolen things. I've forgotten the name of it.
I know what you mean. The little, it's
not the potato. potato thing, is it?
It's not the potato. I've forgotten what it's called. It's not knitting. It's a new thing.
Crochet.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So they have a side hustle of like these little crochet toys.
Yeah.
There's no pressure on making money.
I have
from
a little broccoli.
Yeah. Like there's no pressure of making money from it. Like, you know, of course they may sell it, they may gift it, they may take part in pop-ups, but money is coming from the corporate job.
Yeah.
This they're doing for fun.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. And then they'll also do some form of social service. You know, they'll go and like prepare like boxes of lunch boxes for migrant workers or something like that. So it's like you can create a life in which you can, you know, hit all the targets and goals that you want, but not expect it to come from one role, which is where I feel like that's where we get like, that's the mistake we make.
Well, and when you said like you can have fulfillment and don't expect it to come from one role, I think that that really speaks to motherhood.
Yeah.
Where it's like it's okay to say that like my sun, moon, stars, reason for breathing, reason I wake up, go to bed, do anything is my kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And while I will say that actually, and it's literally tattooed on my body, but like my point is like, it's okay to be a mother
and
also have an actual real life with real interests.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so this woman number two in this case, right? Yeah, it's okay to say, I'm ready to do something else in addition to being a mom, if that's what you want.
I love my boys. I have two boys, they're 11 and 7. But like after my first son, I wasn't working. I had such a hard time just taking care of him, not physically, but mentally, because I felt like all I'm doing with my life is feeding him, changing him, putting him to sleep. Oh, and that's all my life is. Once I had my second one, that time I was working. I was like, this time I'll take a 4-month maternity break. I'll really enjoy the time with my son. I was back to my projects in 2 months because again, I felt like, what am I doing with my day? What am I doing with my life? Like, I love him, but I need something else, you know?
That comes back to your identity, you know, and, and again, what brings you joy. So I was having a conversation with a client yesterday, and for her, she said to me that during COVID, it was bliss because it meant she got to come home from the office, relax, you know, take it easy from work, and it wasn't so stressful. And then I was like, that's great. But for me, and my husband felt exactly the same way. I said, for me, my COVID journey was completely different because I was at home with the three kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was intense and, you know, it was not relaxing. And, you know, just you kind of feel like, I guess if you were to flip it, it's like having your lockdown in the office.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like, doesn't it? So,
no, you're so right. You're so right. You know, women, I think at a certain point need to be told, like, it's okay to have multiple identities. You don't have to stick to one. One of the things that really helps me as like a multi-hyphenate, right? You know, someone who's writing and doing and whatever. It's like, be where your feet are.
Yes. Be present.
So it's like, you know, we're in the podcast studio. We are all here. You know, it's Galentine's Day for those, you know, we're going to be airing this later, but it's Valentine's Day. And it's like, so we're all here doing this with each other. Yeah. And then when we step out of here, we might be on dates with our husbands or we might be in our kids' school and we might be. And then that we can be that.
Yes.
You can be all that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't have to pick.
And, you know, I just want to highlight this, that, you know, it's not just money that women don't talk about openly. It's what we were talking about now. Right now that we need space that is our own and it's away from our kids. Like we feel a lot of shame just saying that as well.
Yeah.
What? You don't
you
want
just
to
said
be...
it and it made me nervous. I was like, oh, what if someone thinks we don't love our kids?
Yeah, no, we do.
We love
them. Yeah, yeah. It's like what you're saying, you don't want to be with your kids all the time. Yes, I don't want to be with them all the time.
Did
you know?
I stutter? That's what I said. No, you're absolutely right though. Okay, so we've hit on some of the kind of like really buzzwordy things in business, right? Imposter syndrome, burnout, right? Limiting beliefs, fear of failure. If you could only pick one of those, okay, what is the biggest one that you think affects the greatest number of women, and how do you help them get past it?
So I'm going to cheat here a bit and call it limiting beliefs because I feel
it's
like
the other
every
three.
All the others kind of come into this bucket. But you know this, Amanda, like you will tell people that you need to train every day.
Yes, I will.
Even if it's like 7 minutes.
One rest day. Yes.
Like even if it's like 7 minutes, put in something every day for your body. And the same applies for nutrition as well, right? Like it has to be a daily thing.
Yeah.
What I have realized that I never did and now I've started started doing and I encourage founders to do is that we need to do daily mind training. Mm-hmm. Like, we are not setting aside time to like empower our minds to be the best selves. And it can be affirmations, it can be visualization, mm-hmm. it can be listening to like positive hypnosis mm-hmm. videos and audios, which are like, you know, like what I've started doing now is I sleep with a self-hypnosis video.
I've heard about this.
Yeah, I used to do that.
You did it too?
I used to do it. So I started doing that during pregnancy and it was hypnobirthing at the time.
Okay, but the
problem was every time I turned on, I fell asleep and I was like, wow, this is amazing. Then my husband started joining in and he was like, my God, why did we never do this before?
Yeah. Was he listening to the hypnobirthing?
Hypnobirthing. But again, we'd like get 10 minutes into it and we'd both be conked out. Oh. Yeah. And it is incredible. Yeah. Like, it's so relaxing. I started doing it with the kids. Yeah. So I'll say, okay, we're going to do some, what do we call it? I call it, I say meditation or something. And I mean, it doesn't help them fall asleep, but what it does is it calms them a little bit before bed, so they're not so excited.
Is that why you do it? For calming or for...
No, I do it for, because what I read, the science around it is that your subconscious is always awake.
Yes.
So these words, even though... So I put it at very low volume near me. And these words, even while you're sleeping, it's actually kind of imprinting on your brain and rewriting the thoughts and the beliefs you have. That's, and I'm also a light sleeper. So what happens is when I say wake up 2-3 times, I wake up with someone saying, oh, you have an abundant mindset. Wow. You're drawing abundance into your life. Like, it's like, you know, waking up and hearing that, it is like, it's hard to kind of, you know, say it in words, the impact, but I can feel it in terms of like, how I'm behaving once I wake up, you know, and how, like, I wake up feeling so positive and empowered and like I have agency, I can create my day. And that's the one thing that I changed.
Get out. How long have you been doing it, if you don't mind me asking?
4 or 5 months now.
And nightly?
Nightly.
So literally head hits pillow.
Yes.
Thing goes on.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. So what I do is I like reduce the light to the minimum so the light doesn't disturb me. Yeah. I have it playing on my iPad.
Yeah.
And it's like you can find, these are free videos on YouTube. Of course, you have to search to find what resonates the best with you. But Marissa Peer is a great one. Mm-hmm. Do you know Marissa Peer?
I don't actually. Yeah.
She's an RTT specialist, rapid transformational therapy.
Yep, okay.
And so she's someone who shares these free self-hypnosis videos, audios on her YouTube channel.
Amazing.
I'll just put that on, like, very low volume and no light, and it keeps playing in the background.
Mega bought us some gifts today, which were some journals, which I am very excited about.
Thank you.
And surprisingly, I had actually asked about journals. And the reason I had done that was because I wanted to just do a brain dump before I went to bed. I didn't want to be on my phone. I wanted to write down what I needed to do and what I had already achieved that day so that I'm not thinking about it at nighttime.
Yeah,
just to kind of, you know, just get it out of my head.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like when you are struggling with so many thoughts, you know, as a mum, as an entrepreneur, you know, as a wife, whatever it is, just getting that stuff out will kind of help you get into this deep rest state.
Absolutely.
I do feel like I brain dump on my husband.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really, like I'm that person who has to like talk for 10 straight minutes and then we can pass out.
Oh yeah.
It's like I wanted to do that,
but Armin basically said, can you stop projecting your stress on me? So then I'm like, okay, fine, I need to just write it down. I need to get it out.
I'll put it in my journal with Armin. Okay.
No, and you know, that's a great point because I found it so much easier to like compartmentalize after doing these self-hypnosis videos because now I can be like, I'll deal with it tomorrow and like shut down, and it's like rewind time. And it of course helps that I have something playing which is telling me other things. And then in the morning when I wake up, right, like I'm actively able to choose thoughts, which I couldn't do earlier. Like I would always start my day by, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, this is urgent, that's urgent. Like already, like I'm waking up at 5:30 and I have like a stressful
that
to-do.
That's literally me. You're describing me.
But now I'm like, I can just be like, that's later. That's for later. And then choose something else, you know? And I'll have these affirmations I say to myself. I do my prayers in the morning as well. And I think that mind training has made such a difference So maybe that's the next soapbox I'll get on after money.
Get on it. Yes. Mind training. I feel like that is literally the soapbox to get on. It's the atomic habits of, you know, mindset shifting, right? Yeah, it's like do this one thing every day. Yeah. Again, we talked a little bit about, you know, women having career changes in their midlife, right? So whether it's, you know, going back to work or starting work or giving up the corporate life, whatever it may be, how important are networks in this case, right? So like, is this something that you can go at it alone? Is it better to know people? Like, how do women leverage networks to make transitions at this age?
Networks are really crucial. And I feel like this is something that should be taught in schools, that, you know, the people you surround yourself with are the ones that will help you to achieve your life goals. And I don't mean it in a very strategic or a practical way, like somebody will give you a job or an opportunity. It's again, the mindset. So if I'm aiming for a $1 million business, right, I want to surround myself with founders who are also have the same goal or have achieved it. Yeah. Because then I will feel that, oh, it's doable. It's not a big thing. I can do it. If they can do it, I can do it, you know? And so for women, I feel it's especially more important, like whether you're in that transition phase, right? To find networks where women are in the same journey as they are. So what I feel now is that instead of trying to, like, I do, like, you know, I run Launchpad, which is a community.
You run a network.
Yeah. So yes.
Helpful.
Yeah. I run a network. Mm-hmm. And so what I tell founders is that find networks where you find an alignment in terms of values and in terms of people who are on a similar journey. I think one of the mistakes that people make while joining networks is to think very, very short term, like I'll get a project, I'll get someone who'll work for me, I'll get clients, which of course happens. It happens all the time. But the biggest benefit will come if you get the values alignment and if you're on the same journey as the other people in the network.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say, like women in the transition mode, just find networks where there are other women who are in the transition mode, but also on a journey, you know, like I would caution against joining groups where you're just complaining about your situation and not taking any action. Join groups where women are taking action and they can help you and guide you in that direction.
I saw a wonderful quote to this end the other day, and it was like, if you look at your circle, and you don't have people that are aligned with your values, lifting you up, helping you with positive self-talk, then you don't have a circle, you have a cage.
Wow. I love that.
I feel like that's exactly what you're describing. It's like, if you, like you said, if your networks are actually places that people are complaining, holding you back, telling you you can't, that idea is stupid, it'll never work.
Yeah.
You don't have a circle.
Yeah. I love out. That. Yeah. Yeah. Get out. You have a cage. You have a cage. I'm going to remember that.
Yeah. No, I obviously stuck with me. I was like, yes, so good.
No, and if I can talk to the power of communities, like I shared a little bit about my story, right? Like came here, no money, no network, no friends. Like it was through joining a community called Crib, which is again, a community for female founders. Like I found, of course I got like people who gave me work. And then once they liked my work, I got more work through word of mouth, but I found friends. I found a community. I found people who could understand my story and my journey. And I didn't feel lonely anymore. There is Simone Heng. I'm sure you know about her.
She'll be on the podcast this season. Yeah.
So Simone talks about loneliness being such an epidemic, right? Like it was so lonely for me to be like in Singapore as a mother, not having any support system or friends or having productive work to do. And so my network gave me all of that.
That just spurred me to think about, like when you were mentioning like kind of being alone in motherhood and all that. Like, so there is a network that I was a part of, and I no need to mention it. I'm sure if you're a mom in Singapore, you know what it is. And I realized that it was no longer serving me. And I think it was because, you know, by the time you're a mother of three, and again, for me in rapid fire, right? So it's like, boom, boom, boom. Like this all is very fresh in my mind, right? Because it just happened. It's like, by the time you get to that, it's like, yes, I have a newborn, like this is a newborn child, but I don't have the concerns of the newborn moms anymore. Because I don't have the fear and uncertainty. I don't have the, like, how do you use a breast pump? Like, we're good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you know when it's time to reevaluate your networks?
And, you know, it's something that we're seeing in Launchpad as well, where it's like when founders started with us 3 years ago, they were just starting out, and a lot of our offerings were very valuable to them. But now that, you know, they have reached a certain stage in their business, either they've become very busy, you know, they don't have time to take part in the activities, or it's like they no longer feel in alignment with the startup founder because they are like a more mature business, you know. They're, as I was saying, they are making 300,000, gunning for a million. Their concerns are very different, you know. Their challenges around maybe building a team, their challenges about getting B2B work. So I think you're absolutely right that we should evaluate our networks in terms of, like, and again, I would say not evaluate in terms of, like, am I getting clients from this network, but am I feeling in alignment with the people in this community, right? Are my concerns their concerns? Are my stories and their stories similar? Or do I feel like I just don't connect with them anymore? And that's when it's a time to look for a new network.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. And again, I think, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because we obviously met through Launchpad.
Yes,
so we met through this network. And I think what our businesses look like now versus 2 years ago is very different, right? Yeah. But that's, you know, this is just a free plug for Launchpad. I do think actually your network does a really good job of growing. Like I can grow in that network.
Right.
So
right,
it's not just for startups, actually.
Yes.
You know, it's for every stage of business.
Yeah.
So, and again, free plug. Love it.
Yeah.
Love you, Launchpad. Yeah.
In fact, for those founders who now feel that there is, you know, like the Launchpad offerings are, like, you know, not enough for them or not adding enough value, I have something coming up for them later in the year.
Ooh, very exciting. Well, again, speaking of Launchpad, right? It's like you stepped into some of the biggest shoes in entrepreneurship in Singapore, right?
Yes.
I mean, and specifically female entrepreneurship, right? Chris Edwards, the previous CEO of Launchpad Group. You know, you are the first one to have the reins. Correct? The helm? I was going to go with both of that. You're the first, you're the only, the second person to be at the helm of Launchpad, right? Since it began. So how did you navigate taking over someone else's vision and making it your own, making it better, making it bigger? Like, how do you do that? Because I do think that's something that's happening to women in midlife is, like, we are now experienced enough to be taking on big roles.
Yeah.
So how do you face that with confidence?
So I think the great part here for me was that I was not taking on someone else's vision because Chris and my vision were aligned. So that's why, you know, like, this was the, you know, first time Chris reached out to me, instantly my answer was yes, even though, as you said, it's a really big step up for me. It's a big role, big shoes to fill. But because I had worked in the business intimately, so I knew it really well. But B, I knew when we were working together, our vision was aligned, our values were aligned, the impact we wanted to create was the same.
Yeah.
And so for me, it really felt like just taking on the reins of something where we were headed in the same direction.
Yeah.
So, but for sure, if it was like someone else's vision, it would be very hard.
Yeah.
So luckily for me, it wasn't.
Well, and again, I'm working with someone in a coaching capacity right now that has basically been doing that over and over, like going into companies and just turning them upside down.
Amazing.
And that is stressful, man. I'll tell you what. I mean, it's a wonderful impact is created.
Right, right.
But talk about a stressful situation to try you know, convert corporate cultures and then leave.
Right,
and
then
do it again to another company and then leave. I mean, I have nothing but respect.
No, and you come in as an outsider. So for me, like, I couldn't think of buying any other business except Launchpad because this is a business that I knew so well.
Yeah.
I know the team so well. I knew Chris so well. So it's like, this would be the business if I had to buy, I would buy.
Yeah.
Not any other, where I'm like coming as a stranger, you know?
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. Well, Gal, we have loved having you on today. You have given us, I mean, like, honestly, we could make this entire episode into like 50 reels already.
Yeah.
I mean, you've given us so many great talking points. But the question that we always leave with is, what is your 40s formula? What are you giving to women in this decade that can help them thrive, do better, be better?
I'll be very honest. I'm still working on the formula. And I think this is a big, you know, like I feel proud of myself for saying that, because I used to be the sort of person who would need the 40s formula sorted out at the age of 40.
Yes.
And I'm like, I'm still working on it. I'm 43, but it's fine. But I can tell you the things that I've become very clear on. And one is having clarity about what I want and I need. So that is something that's very important, and I now have. Mm-hmm. The second thing is boundaries. Mm-hmm. So I have become very clear and open about what I won't accept. And I stated that I don't like this, I don't want this, and I don't accept this. So it's like having the boundaries and taking up space. Mm-hmm. Having an abundance mindset. So, you know, I've lived my life where I've had a lot, and we just need to see the news in the world to see how privileged we all are living the lives that we are. But I've had that scarcity mindset where I'm like, oh, this is not enough, or I'm short of money, or I'm short of time, I'm short of people. So for me, 40s is really about like, I'm going to be in that abundance mindset. I have so much, I can create so much. And then legacy and impact are the, I would say, the last two pillars of my formula, where impact, as I told you, was something that I came upon after my dark night of the soul. And impact is something I want to do. Like I want to create, I want to help others create, because honestly, otherwise life feels meaningless, in the sense that, okay, I made money and I have a family and that's it. And that's the end of my life. Like I lived my life and I ate and I slept and I worked and that's it. Like, what else did I do? So I feel like life for me feels meaningless without having created positive impact. And the legacy is all tied up around that. Like, you know, I often think about this, that on my deathbed, what are the things I will look back on in terms of what I did to serve the people, to serve the world?
Yeah.
So I would say those are the five pillars. If I can recap.
This is beautiful. Yeah. Give us the five.
Yes. Yeah, so it's clarity, it's boundaries, it's abundance, it's impact, and it's legacy.
It's gorgeous. A true formula. We love a good formula. We do. We love an actual formula, let's be honest. It's something that we don't get very often, so we appreciate it when it comes. Thank you so much for being here today, Mega. This has been wonderful. We've learned a lot. Oh, I've learned so much. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I felt like we've only been speaking for 5 minutes. Yeah. The time has literally flown by.
Yeah, it has.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Let's be real. Perimenopause is a game changer. One day you're cruising along and the next your body puts a spanner in the works. Sometimes symptoms feel manageable. Others, well, let's just say we have to breathe through those.
And I'm not there quite yet, but the research shows that staying strong physically and mentally makes a world of difference.
That's why Great created Menopause Mojo by Great Moves. It's a fitness program designed just for this stage of life. It helps with pelvic strength, breathing exercises, and muscle training, everything you need right now.
And we've got a special deal just for you, listeners of the 40s Formula. Use code TFFSPECIAL at checkout to get your first class for only $50.
Or go all out and save 33% off a 5-session starter pack.
Your body's changing, but you're still you, and you deserve to feel great. Let's get moving with Great.
Guys, you know we love coffee. And if you want to show us some love, you know you can always get us one.
Just visit buymeacoffee.com/the40sformula.
Cheers. Cheers.
Before we go, please remember to hit subscribe and take a moment to support the 40s Formula by leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform.
Your reviews will help us to reach more people and allow us to continue to bring valuable content. It should only take a moment, and it's a free way for you to support the show.
You can also stay updated with the 40s Formula by following us on Instagram at the 40s Formula, all one word. We share behind-the-scenes insights, episode updates, and much more, so please be sure to hit that follow button.
We appreciate your time and support. Thank you for being part of this community, and we'll be back next week for more empowering conversations with inspiring guests.
Bye. Bye.
So Generation Great, it's G-R-E-Y, Gray,
Okay.
TT. So it's like basically a three-prong lifestyle community for
over 50.
Yeah, I'll call them over 50. I will not say seniors because 50 is too close to be a senior. So that's too close to my world to be calling it seniors.
Yeah, the older we get, the younger 50, 60 feels.
Yeah, I refuse to say seniors at 50.